Final Sunday of 2018. What a year, right? If we were to stop and just reflect over the course of the year, and a lot of times that's what we are encouraged to do, right? How many of you make New Year's resolutions? Anybody willing to admit? My hand's up. Yeah, I've made them. Anybody want to admit that you've actually kept them? And I'm sure somewhere out there you've kept a resolution or two or maybe more. A number of years ago, I began to actually, at the end of the year, reflect back on the year, kind of in a way of being able to catalog the year that was, and wanting to put on the year that was a word. What would be one word that would classify or categorize the year that had just happened? And I did that, maybe not in place of New Year's resolutions. I think I've been there before, where there have been some nice ideas as I was thinking about the year ahead. What would I like to see changed, or what would I like to see accomplished in this new year? And a lot of times, you know, one of the problems with New Year's resolutions, a lot of times it's a negative, something that we want to see changed. And if you don't get good traction right in those first couple of weeks, first couple of even days, it's pretty easy to forget it pretty quickly. And over 50%, according to some polls, over 50% of Americans that make resolutions, and it's about 80% of Americans, so maybe you're in that 80 percentile group, 80% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, and over 50% don't even make it to the end of January. Wow, that's amazing. So if you actually remember last year's New Year's resolution today, that's a good milestone, and if you actually kept it, then way to go. We should have you stand and applaud. But you know, a lot of times, those New Year's resolutions are those things we're wanting to see something change, and it's a negative. But as I began this little habit of categorizing or cataloging the year on the basis of a word, and I won't give you all the years, and it gets a little bit personal at times, but a number of years ago, the word, and I'll just kind of let you in on a little bit here, but the word was responsibility. As I considered my role as father, husband, administrator of an academy, a number of different roles that I was just looking at, realizing I was called to fill a role, and that was my responsibility. And so not to shirk it, not to pass that off, not to allow somebody else to take it, but I learned in that year what it was to shoulder responsibility. I probably should have learned that right in fifth grade, and not that I didn't, but at the same time, in a very unique way. I learned that a number of years ago, and I could give other words. Then I thought, well, why wait to the end of the year? How about starting the year with a word? And I didn't realize that this was a thing, but there are actually books that have been written that tell you how to go down and find a word. And you could, I could point you to a couple of different books, and they talk about one word that would categorize a year. And as my wife and I really began this pursuit about a month ago, thinking, what would be something that we're wanting to see God accomplish in our lives this year? Not so much a New Year's resolution or set of resolutions, but a year, a word that would really, 2019, a vision. So instead of what I have done in the past, kind of reflecting back upon the year, looking to set rather a vision. Where is God wanting to take this year? And there are a number of things that God is wanting to teach and is teaching us as a couple and in our life and ministry right now. And I kind of was circling around two different words. I realized as different as the words are, the heart was the exact same. And ironically, this is all introduction. I'm not really wanting to talk about getting you all a word, but this is a journey that I've been on, and it's from that journey that this morning's message comes. So let me just share with you what that word is. Again, I told you we were looking at two different words that almost met at the same place, though when I give the words, they're two totally opposite words. The word that first came to my mind was the word eternity. Running everything that I do in a given day through the filter, how will this impact eternity? You know, the truth is, whether for good or for bad, every day that we have is impacting eternity. It's so easy to live for the here, the now, the moment. But God would call us to live for eternity, and I did a trial run with that a couple of weeks ago, and just every day. Okay, I want this one word to direct what I do in these days. And, you know, it began making a difference. Not that my heart was there was a huge change or anything. It was just a minor modification. But getting up in the morning, eternity. Going to bed at night. Okay, how did I touch eternity today? Was I prepared with that gospel tract? I appreciate Brother Hartzler challenging us. Did we have those opportunities? Did we take those opportunities? Did I do that? And really, just simply, in a lot of different areas, and realizing that if I am going to live in light of eternity and wanting eternity to impact every moment of every day, well then, there will be lifestyle changes that I would be willing to make, or other things, and so it kind of snowballs this New Year's resolution all right there into that. Well, the second word that I was considering was a challenge that I've received. I'm not a huge user of electronic devices, but you know, I'm basically a digital native. Not quite. I'm kind of there. My children are the true digital natives, right? You know, they at two are able to swipe and make their way around those phones. But you know, I use technology, and I get distracted when I get home and different things. So another word that I was challenged with was the word present. Be present. And where the two words kind of circle together, I'm going to be present because of eternity, and because of eternity, I'm going to live for eternity in the present. So really those two words come together, and we've settled on the word eternity as a family. So that's our word. But as I was thinking through the power of that word and in my own personal journey, and as I was asking the Lord, what would he have me to give? On this final Sunday of 2018, as we look to 2019 just ahead of us, where would he have us to go? And so, would you join me, not in really finding a word for your family or for you and your life today, but in considering what it is to live in light of eternity, moment by moment, as we head into the year 2019. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 105. Psalm chapter 105. If you were in the adult Sunday school class, it is remarkable how this message is going to dovetail with what we heard in Sunday school this morning as we had the end of Saul's life and the just the reality of David's character and the beginning of his acceptance of the crown as he was going to become king of Israel. And this psalm really does lay out for us David's heart, and I believe that it is a heart that God would desire to have in each one of us. We're going to read, actually, the first five verses. Follow along with me, if you would, as I read Psalm chapter 105, verses 1 through 5. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity this morning to stop and to meet together as your people in this assembly. Lord, I pray that you would bless each one who is here. Would you bless the preaching of your word? I pray that you would challenge us. And Lord, help us to leave with action steps that we can take, steps of obedience that really would indeed mark the year ahead of us as we step into a year that could easily be distracted, a year that would have many different pressures upon it, I'm sure for each one here, but Lord, would we step into it really mindful of you and walking with you as we go throughout the year, I pray. I ask these things in your name, amen. The last phrase of verse 2 is the title that I'm going to pull, or is the phrase that I'm going to use to give this message a title. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Do you talk of your God? In the busyness of life, I find that it's easy, even as an administrator of an academy and as one who is on the payroll of a church, to let the busyness of life distract me from those things that truly matter. And I've worked a number of different jobs, ranging from, at one point, I was a grave digger to a hardware store shelf stalker to a lot of different things. And not all of my jobs have been on a church staff, but the fact is, whether on church staff or in the secular world, as it were, it's so easy for the cares of this life and for just the pressures and the busyness and even the entertainment to distract us from those things that truly and really do matter. Do we talk of our God, or do the cares, busyness, focus of this temporal life choke out the reality of God, that reality that he calls us to have? Remember, here in this life, Christ told us in the Gospels, take no thought. That doesn't mean that we are to forget and that it's, or even that it's wrong. You know, we can go off the train tracks on that side thinking, well, everything temporal is wrong and sinful. No, not at all. God gives us things to enjoy, and he wants us to enjoy these things. But at the same time, he calls us to talk of him. And I believe a simple challenge as we head into the year is not a big resolution by any, but a simple challenge to consider our conversations throughout the course of the day and to ask ourselves, how are we doing in talking of our God? You know, the Jew had a very elaborate system. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Jew was given instructions and in a number of different places in the law, but especially in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's just laid out. This is how I want you to remember your God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, they were told to write the word of God upon the post of their home. And maybe you've seen that little box that you can go by and it has scripture contained in it. You might rub it or just be mindful of it as you're going past. And then it says, bind it between your eyes. And so if you've seen an Orthodox Jew with that little scripture box placed upon their forehead. And there were other things that they would do, including taking and weaving scripture verses on ribbons around their fingers and other things. And they would be very mindful of God in that way. I'm not really calling us to that, though I don't think that that's a bad thing. And certainly having scripture verses up in our homes is a good thing to have. But the fact is, just because we have a verse on the wall doesn't mean that it's going to impact the way we live our daily life, right? You know, if the Jew on one hand had a very elaborate system for remembering God, does our world today have a very elaborate system for forgetting God? Have we not seen over the past 20 years and 30 years, and maybe more, maybe less, but just society as a whole isn't just willing to forget God, but they're actively pushing to remove God, to live life apart from him, to be able to, in our cultured 2018, you know, as we're finding ourselves in society, to be able to say, you know, I can live life independent of a higher being. And if there is a God out there, it's just in the imagination of weak people who need a crutch. And the world around you certainly is not going to help you speak of God. But dad and mom, parents, though we attend church, and here we are on this Sunday morning, and some of you, I'm sure, traveling and are stopping in, and appreciate each one being here, we need to pause before we give society too hard a time. They're doing what the world does. They are separate from God. They are dead in their sins. But we, as the body of Christ, are called to a totally different calling. And God would call us this morning not to take our example either from the Jewish pattern, though certainly there are elements of that that could be used, or to allow ourselves to become comfortable with the world's forgetting of God. And, you know, the fact is, I spoke a moment ago of a digital native. The world is very good at distracting us. And I read a book recently, 12 Ways Your Cell Phone Is Changing You, and that's partly where I got the idea of being present in a moment of time. The fact is, our cell phones are changing us, and there are a lot of distractions that are sent our way, and it would be very easy for you and I to have our thoughts and our attention grabbed from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, not with evil things, but with distracting things, things that just flat out keep us from being mindful of the one who created us, the one who saved us, the one who we can stand in awe of and say, isn't it an amazing thing? And that reality that God would have for us today and through every day as we end 2018 and head into 2019, that we would talk of him. My desire is that 2019... And if I am, since I've talked about that one word, if I'm going to put one word on this message, my desire is that 2019 would be marked by speaking of God. Not in some weird way, but just in the normal conversations of life. You know, God has made a difference in my life and he can do it in your life. And that it's not a weird thing, or, you know, at times we kind of psych ourselves up, okay, I need to give this gospel tract to this checkout person, and we just kind of toss it at them. When what God would want us to do is just make it a natural part of our conversation to be able to talk about the one who makes such a difference in our lives, who has changed our lives, our destiny, who loves us, and verily, whom we love, would we speak of him? Sometimes it is the small adjustments that make the big changes. Psalm chapter 10, verse number 4 states, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Now, note, the psalmist doesn't state here that God is not in all his words. But one of the characteristics of a wicked person is the fact that he is not filtering his thoughts and therefore his speech through the reality of God. When we are mindful and aware of God, could I use the term a God filter? It will impact the way that we live our lives. And one of the characteristics of a wicked man is the fact that that filter is not there. And not that I'm here this morning to call anyone into question, but would we be living the life of a practical atheist when we talk about God and we know that there's a God and we live for God and we are involved in church on a Sunday morning, evening, and at different times throughout the week, but often we live our 9-to-5 job without ever giving a thought to the God that we serve? One of those characteristics then of a wicked man is that God is not in all his thoughts. May that not be true of us, but would we rather have God in the forefront of our thoughts? Now, just before we delve into these points that God has placed upon my heart, may I just make sure that we understand that it's not wrong to certainly enjoy these temporal things that are around us. How about them Chiefs, right? Doing pretty well this year. You know, it's certainly fine to enjoy those things and to have other things that are going to be there, but making some small adjustments as we head into this year ahead of us. First off, looking at our passage, Psalm chapter 105, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him." First off, if we are going to speak of our God, may our conversations be marked by praise for who he is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Don't we have much to be thankful for? We are a people most blessed. And yet, it's remarkable. Some of the most thankful people I have been able to interact with are actually not Americans. And they're not wealthy. Some of the most thankful people that I've been able to interact with are people who have absolutely nothing of this world's goods by any standard of measurement. And yet, to listen to them pray, or to listen to them speak of their God, is an absolutely humbling opportunity. If we are going to keep a right perspective of our God, we need to have a right response to him in praise that is going to begin with a thankfulness. God, you have been good to me. I will thank you. We had opportunity this past week to express thankfulness, maybe in a way that's unique to one day out of the year. Whether or not you got the gift that you were longing for, were you thankful? And not just, oh, thanks, Grandma. This is exactly what I wanted. But really, a genuine, true thank you. And heartfelt. But not only to others around us, though, certainly, if we have a right heart of thankfulness to our God, it is going to impact our thankfulness toward others. It overflows. The two go hand in hand. But God would call us to be thankful to him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And really, that should be a part of our daily devotional time as we're meeting with the Lord, where we're meeting with him, and we're just thanking him. Lord, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single day, and whatever it might be. But we are thankful on a daily basis. Parents, are you modeling that before your children? And we'll talk more about this parent thing here in a little bit, but it's been said that children are God's tattletales. And the fact is, they do catch what catches dad and mom. And they're watching and they're seeing. Are they seeing that thankful attitude being portrayed? The psalm calls us to be thankful. Isn't it ironic, though, that in Romans chapter 1, where you have a progression of a people that go from knowing God to the end of Romans chapter 1, committing suicide, both societal as well as spiritual, as well as individual suicide, they go into the darkness. God gives them over to a reprobate mind. God allows wickedness to take its full hold upon a person or upon a culture. It begins when they knew God. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Folks, it's important for you and I to be thankful. And as important as it is for us to be thankful in our devotional time and that time that we spend with God, might our whole day be marked with the heart of thankfulness. God, you have been good. You have allowed this. Not only do we see here, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. That call is the idea of casting your dependence. It's a trust. It's depending upon him. You know, we're not going to call upon one that we don't need. It's been said that prayerlessness is a declaration of independence. When you and I go through a day or a week or whatever amount of time without casting ourselves upon God, we're really saying, God, I've got this one. I've got it under control. But as we would speak of our Savior, he calls us to depend upon him, to give thanks, to depend upon him, make known his deeds among the people. What an opportunity there, as we are praising our God, to portray for a lost world around us. I don't know where each of you work, and if we were to take the time this morning to talk about your different spheres of influence, you know, we're not going to take that time, but right now you can think of people that are in your sphere of influence. Whether it's at a bank, or at a grocery store, or in the office, or in the hospital, or wherever it's at, those people that you rub shoulders with, what about the people that are in your home? Those people who see you, good, bad, ugly, all of it. You know, it's all there. What are they seeing? Are they hearing you speak of God's wondrous works? So this first focus in talking of God is to praise him, to ascribe worth and value to him for who he is. This is my God. Here is how he is changing my life. And I trust that as we step into 2019, there would be a group of people who would say, yes, by God's grace, I will speak for him, and I want others around me through my voice to know that my God is alive, he is well, he is on the throne, he meets my needs, I talk to him, we have a relationship, and I attribute value, I praise him for his goodness to me. Can we do that? Absolutely. Not only do we have the idea of talking about God through praise, but then we come really into the heart of the message here. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. The two middle phrases, I actually read three there, but the two middle, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. The idea of talking. We don't talk about that which we want to avoid. And let me develop this thought a little bit. The word that I want to associate with this middle point is the word hope. And both the hope that you and I, there came a, you and I use on a regular basis. There came a point in the Packers season that I stopped hoping they would make it to the playoffs. There was a point where I thought, well, hopefully Aaron Rodgers can do this. Hopefully, there came a point where, okay, we're canning our coach. It's over. Not happening this year for the Packers. Okay, so my hope stopped hoping. But I want to talk about that kind of hope, but also the scriptural hope that we talk of, which is the confident expectation. That hope that it's not a matter of I would like something to happen. It would be nice. No, it's the hope, it's the confidence, it's the expectation that would be akin to if you happen to fly, those of you that are college students, coming home, or coming back to Kansas City for the Christmas season, when you got in line at the airport for security, you had a little piece of paper that gave you a right to stand in that line. And the TSA agents took a look at that piece of paper and they gave you the approval to go through the detectors. And you went through those detectors with that piece of paper that gave you the approval. That was your hope. That was your claim to a seat. One of those planes surrounding that airport had your name on it. And a seat on that plane, that was your hope, the confident expectation. So we're talking both about that confident expectation of God said it, I know he's going to do it, so I'm going to hope in the Lord because he will not fail, and because he said it, I can trust him. But also that just in the daily, day-to-day life, we hope in God. And what I'm getting at is simply this. When we have a confidence for the present and the future based upon the past, a confidence in God for what he does and will do, we will talk about it. What do I mean? I mean this. If you have children, maybe up into their teen years, but certainly in that middle school and younger years, you heard about Christmas. I hope I get such and such. And because there was a hoping, they talked about it. I hope I get this. I spent time with my cousins, and the opportunity to go back to New Mexico for Christmas was the first time that I'd been able to be back with my wife and family in, I think, 8 or 9 years. So it had been quite a while. And my mom's side of the family, the Corleys in New Mexico, a lot of my mom's brothers and sisters live there. And if we all got together, just my grandparents and then immediate descendants, it would have been over 200 people in my grandparents' house. And as it was, there were only 76 that got together, but we spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and part of the next day all together in Papa and Grandma's house, and what a time. Well, I have a 9-year-old, he would be cousin, cousin. My mom's the oldest, her youngest brother's son, and he was talking to me Christmas Eve about all the things he hoped to get. Now, he didn't know me, you know, 9 years ago. It was the last time I was there for a Christmas, and I've met him, and we've interacted some, but really, we haven't interacted that much. But he was willing to talk to anybody. And if he had a listening ear, he was talking about all the things he was hoping to get. I think of a time in my life when I was working in Ireland as a school teacher, and I flew to Kansas City for Christmas in the middle of the school year. And as I was coming to Kansas City, I was looking forward to asking a certain young lady if she would marry me. And then at the end of Christmas break, I had to fly back to Ireland and say goodbye, and it was going to be really tough. But on those flights, one, coming because I had a hope of seeing her, and in going because I had a hope of getting married to her when I got back after my year, you know what? I talked to all kinds of strangers about Jessica. I told all kinds of people about her. Why? Well, because there was a hope. You know, when we allow our confidence in God to impact our daily life, we're going to talk about it. Not to go back to the NFL illustration, but the fact is, I don't really want to talk to you about the Packers. I dare say there might be somebody who would be willing to talk to me about the Chiefs. You know, when there's a hope that maybe We're going to talk about it. But with God, it's not a maybe. It is a done deal. It's a so. And so we can hope in it. So we're called then to talk of Him. Talk of our God. How are you doing with that? Is there a confidence in your God that He does meet the needs, big and little, in your life so that you can talk of Him to your children? Not just those big moments, but also the little moments. I had been planning this message for a while now, and I didn't know that yesterday I was going to have opportunity to experience one of those big moments. As I left Albuquerque, New Mexico, on I-40 heading east, there were several signs that said, "Extremely severe weather conditions ahead. Do not proceed." Well, the road wasn't closed. There were others who were proceeding. I had an appointment with Uncle Tony last night, and we were going to be here this morning. So we said, well, we'll take it cautiously, we'll take it slowly, we're going to trust the Lord, and we're going to go. Now, before we left, my dad read Psalm 91, and we're not going to take time this morning. Brian told me we have until 1 o'clock, so I only have so much time. So he did correct it, though. He said, no, it's actually noon, that we're trying to wrap it up. But he did initially tell me 1 o'clock, so but we'll wrap it up by noon. But as we left Psalm 91, just talking about the Lord providing safety and protection and direction and protecting from the arrow or from pestilence and from things that would destroy. And really, we saw that played out. Yesterday, both lanes right around Santa Rosa, New Mexico, both lanes of I-40 had about 30 miles of pileups. And delayed for hours right in the middle of it. And thankfully, the Lord just directed our van as we, you know, the snow-packed roads are fine until you have to stop on them. Everything's going fine until it's, okay, they're stopping in front of us and they're stopped. So if I make impact on the back there, they're not going anywhere. And unfortunately, a car just one or two in front of me ended up coming into the back of a semi-truck. And as I was slowing down, there was enough of a space between myself and those in front of me, and I was trying to keep just be proactive, knowing where people behind me were. I realized, okay, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make a safe stop. But watching behind, and the semi-truck that was barreling down ended up being able to swerve off the road onto the shoulder, and he was fine. It was all good. But then right after he got off, another semi-truck jackknifed and hit the back of his trailer. So after he made it okay, but what that created was a little pocket. You know, everybody in front of us was stopped. We had a jackknife trailer behind us, and we were there in that little pocket, untouched, unharmed, ready to just sit and wait for the road to open up. And we waited long enough that the road opened up, and it also, by that point, it got warm and the snow was melted. So it was a dry trip from there on out, basically. But the Lord protected. You know, it wasn't hard at that moment to talk to my children. Wow, look at how God answered prayer. Look how God protected us. Look how God opened a way for us to be able to miss several stopped vehicles, several different things, and for our vehicle to come to a safe stop. Wow, God is good. But you know, I don't want to live needing to talk about those big things every day. Maybe you're an adrenaline junkie and you're all about that, but not me. You know, it's easy to talk about those big moments where God protects. But what about the small things of life? I recently was put in charge of hosting or preparing for the staff Christmas party for the staff of Falls Baptist Church and Ministries. And that's a group of about 70 people that I was preparing for. So it wasn't, you know, your Christmas party for 8 people in the office. It had a little bit of scope to it. And I did a number of different things. But I have a recipe that I've made a number of times for a mocha espresso pie. Now, that's good stuff. Coffee and chocolate, you put them together, man, it's hard to get much better than that. I'd made this pie a number of times for different events, always in batches of 2 pies at a time. Well, when you're making for 70, 2 pies at a time isn't going to go real far, so I needed to make 8 pies in one go, and I was in the process of doing it, and I got home from work one day, and I thought I had all the ingredients. That's a mistake, right? You've been there before, you thought you had them all, and by the time you started working on it, you realized it was too late to go run to a grocery store. You were set with what you had, and you just had to move forward. Well, I actually needed 24 egg yolks for what I was going to be doing and making the custard. So if you're a cook, I'll just give you a little bit of that inside scoop. We're making the custard for the pudding filling for the mocha part of the pie. All right, so ended up, I only had 17 eggs. As I began cracking the eggs into the bowl and separating the yolks from the whites, I figured, well, I can at least make 6. As principal of an academy, I know a little bit about math. I can work out my ratios and figure it out so that I could, rather than doing 8, we'll do 6 and we'll make it go. But 17 eggs wasn't quite going to give me the 18 that I needed. That's okay. You know, you can fudge a little bit. One egg yolk, what's that going to matter, right? So I'm cracking away, and I normally pull my eggs pretty systematically out of the carton, you know, from this corner back and work to this corner to this corner. I was actually randomly pulling them out. And what did you know but the last egg that I pulled out? I crack it, and it had a double yolk. And it's like in that moment, God said, you know, you can, but I can. And I didn't stop and pray about it. But in that little moment of life, as I was a little bit stressed, you know, trying to prepare food for 70 people and wanting to make a nice party and to get it decorated and all, the Lord said, you know, you can trust, you can rest. Well, I had enough filling for 6 pie crusts. And normally when I make this, there's enough for 2 pies and then a little bit to lick the bowl. That's about the extent of it. Well, I started, after I got it all made up, I started pouring into my pre-made pie, you know, the crust that I'd already baked off. I was going to fill 6. I got those 6 filled. Well, hey, there's more in the bowl. Let's go for 7. There's still more in the bowl. Let's go for 8. And there's still more in the bowl. Let's fill some little individual cups. And you know, in a small way, and you know, you can kind of, oh, well, that's a neat little story. But in that moment, I wasn't cooking. God was ministering to my heart, saying, you know, you can trust me. And you know, my children got up the next morning. I said, you know what, kids, Daddy wants to tell you a story about how God can meet your needs. And that is what God is wanting us to do, not just those big moments where, wow, look at how he protected from an accident. And I'm sure we all have those. But what about those little things in life where you're able to say, I prayed about this, or God met my need. And to my own shame, I didn't pray about, Lord, would you give me 18 eggs? But yet, in the moment, he just did exactly what was needed. And I met that need. And I was able to talk of him. And he would call us, each one, to do the same, to talk of him. Hope in him, confidence for the present and future based on the past. We can know and then talk about what God is going to do based on what he has done for us in the past and what he promises to do for us in the future. Wrapping it up here, our final point that we're looking at, these final couple of verses, the last part of verse number 3, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. This final word, the word rejoice. Would we delight in and rejoice in seeking the face of our Lord? This passage, Psalm chapter 105, begins with this call to talk of God, to remember him, and then it goes into a historical account. And Psalm chapter 105 actually is a sister passage or a parallel to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 9 and following. And if you were to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 9 and following, it's the passage where David was bringing the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. And he's saying, look at what God has done in remembering his people. Look at what God has done for his people. Look at what God will continue to do for his people. Talk ye of him, sing of him. Would you praise the Lord for his goodness? And folks, I don't know how God has blessed you in the year 2018 or in this past week or how he wants to bless you and work in your life in 2019, but I know God does want to work. God does want to bless, but he would call upon us as his people to speak of him, to have hope, to have praise, to have rejoicing. And as we rejoice, the passage really does flesh it out very well for us. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. This rejoicing comes as we seek the Lord, as we come to him and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, Would you show me yourself? Let us seek him and his strength. Seek his face evermore, remembering all the wonderful things that he has done. God has been good to us. God has been gracious to each one of us. And I trust that we would speak of him. Final two illustrations as I close. You all are familiar with John Wesley and Charles Wesley. This is where it comes around full circle, parents. We are creating the view of God that our children will have. John and Charles Wesley, two men really used of God in our country. Much of the heritage that we appreciate came from the work that God did through them. And if they were to stand here today, they would say much of what they would be able to point to came from a mother who spoke of God, Susanna Wesley. Missionary in the South Pacific, John Patton, had a father who was a humble sock maker, but who every day would spend time in the closet, and then he would come out of his closet and speak to his children of a God who sat on the throne of heaven and who would meet their needs. And John Patton did a phenomenal job in the New Hebrides opening up a people group that had eaten other missionaries, and there had never been any successful inreach into these places. But God used him, and not that there's any difference between him and other missionaries, but God did use him. And John Patton, used of the Lord mightily in reaching cannibals in the South Pacific, was able to say, I stand here because of a father who spoke for God. You know, in 2018, be marked by our speaking for God. Would you purpose now to speak for God? Parents, our children are watching. What are they seeing? They're listening. What are they hearing? If you were to take a single word for 2019 and it were to be the word speaking, would you purpose to make this year a year that is marked not by fretting or trusting in our own abilities, but by first and foremost trusting in God and then declaring his praises. Praises is hope and that rejoicing, and that is what God would have for each one of us. It's available. Would you purpose to receive it? Heads bowed.